Eugenia?
Yes, one moment, please.
Have you started the recording yet?
I have transcription to start yet. Just one moment. The recordings are now started. You may go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. On our PDP call on the 13th of January, we have Alex Kukuru, Jeff Newman, James Bladel, Tatiana Kramsova, John Berau, Paul Diaz, Alan Greenberg, Avery Doria, and David Maher. And for staff, we have Marika Koenig. We have apologies from Maji Malam and Gisela and myself, Glenda Saint-Jerry. I have no apologies from anybody else. Does anybody know of any apologies? Thank you, Jeff. Over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn. It's January 13th for our weekly PDP call. I just wanted to introduce everyone to that doesn't know John. John Berard is a new member of council, but is a member from the business, the commercial business user constituency. So welcome, John.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome. And just a reminder to everyone that we do have, it seems like almost everyone's up on Adobe, but we do have Adobe Connect up, and I understand next week we will have a new version of Adobe Connect to show everyone, which I'm told is a lot better in terms of functionality, and so excited to see that. What I wanted to do today is to, again, just go finalize. I know you all talked about it last week, and thanks to James for taking over and helping to lead that meeting last week. Just to go over the timeline again to finalize it, I am expected to deliver this timeline to the council by January 19th, and so I just want to make sure that everyone's good with this again, so that when I send it to the council, this is pretty much set in stone, at least for now, and we'll do everything we can to meet the aggressive timeline, and then go over a couple points from last week and pretty much move forward. And to remind everyone also that we had a doodle poll for, I understand last week you all decided that in order to meet this timeline, we may have to meet twice a week as opposed to once a week, and that every Thursday call we'll decide whether the Monday call is needed or not, but that we'll have it set up for every Monday. And the time that we've now picked, according to the doodle poll, it seemed to work with everyone that responded at least, was this exact time on Mondays. Does anyone have any questions about that? Okay, so thank you to those on the West Coast of the United States for agreeing to that early time. Paul, you have a question?
Yeah, very quick, Jeff. Are we going to start this coming Monday? Was that the plan, or starting the 24th? I just asked because this Monday's a holiday here in the States, and I know I won't be available. Martin Luther King.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. Well, let's actually, let's actually find out from others on the call to see. The plan was to start this Monday, and I had thought about that. Unfortunately, my work doesn't give us off that day. But let's. Can I just see from or hear from people as to who can and cannot make it, so if you want to just, if you have Adobe and know how to use the check marks, if you can just indicate whether a check mark if you'll be available or not.
X means you're not available?
X if you're not available, right. All right.
Well, wow, my first official act as a member of the
it's not a vote. Oh, Marika's not going to be available.
Yeah, this is Marika. I apologize. I just realized I'm traveling on Monday, so it might be difficult. But I'm sure
okay.
Otherwise I could find someone to cover staff support.
Okay, so what it seems like is that it just seems... I tell you what, we'll have the call. Sorry, David, was that a question or a yes or no? Or okay.
I'm having trouble. I will not be able to make it.
Okay. Let's see what we get through today, and then towards the end of the call, let's revisit this again to see how much progress we've made. So, Paul, let's just, if I forget or if someone can remind me towards the last 5 minutes of the call, if we can come back to that. Okay, but otherwise, that time we'll keep that time blocked on everyone's calendar for Mondays, and we'll determine on the Thursday before that whether to go ahead and continue with the call. Okay, so in going through this, timeline, you'll notice that there's a date of January 21st that was decided on the last call as the last date for working group members to submit written comments to the draft final report that Marika again sent around. I believe it was last week, right, Marika, or was it early this week? I'm trying to remember dates here. It looks like it was sent around on the 10th. So it was sent around again Monday, the 10th.
Correct.
So you all should have that again. I know that date is only a week from tomorrow, but the report, as you all had discussed, has been around for quite some time. I will note that, Marika, the report was last updated on the 28th, correct, of October?
This is Marika. That's correct. The only change I made is to actually add line numbers to that version, so it might make it easier for people to identify where they have comments or edits.
Right. So the only issue that people may run into is that we've discussed a number of items since then, and those are highlighted as issues in the draft report, but we have hopefully put some sort of closure on some of those issues. So you may recognize that you're commenting on some things that we may have already discussed, but I think we kind of just have to do it that way. Marika, you have a comment?
Yeah, this is Marika, because the idea would be that after the 21st of January, you basically just accept all the changes and make note of the comments or edits received from members, then in track changes, so it's easy to see, and then incorporate indeed those changes that we've agreed upon based on our review of the outstanding issues. So, but members should already be able to see in that, the other document that provides the overview of the outstanding issue, what the agreed upon approach is by the work team. So, it should already be clear. And if there are any concerns, I think those can already be raised as well. But that's in principle the change that will be made in the next version.
Right. So I encourage you all that when you're reading it to read the two documents kind of together, so when you come up to an issue in the draft report that calls out an issue, you can then refer to the next document that will show up on the screen in Adobe that we've been working through the past several months. You kind of just read them in together in tandem. The next date we have there is for the completion of the draft final report, which is about 10 days after the comments are received, so Marika's got her work cut out for her, which would be completion of the draft report February 1, and placing that report out for what looks like, again, a substantial amount. It is a good amount of comment period time, but that's for several reasons, because you kind of have the ICANN meeting that's in between there as well, and you kind of want to take the comments from the ICANN meeting into account as well. Alan?
Yeah, it may not be only Marika that has their work cut out for us, but for her, but us too, since the comments may well require discussion to decide what goes into the report.
Good point. Very good point. and I'm hoping there are no surprises from the group. So, again, I know we have until 21st to comment, but if you see something that's glaring, that's not only an issue that's pointed out, or even if it's not pointed out, please, one thing this group has not been very successful at in the past several months has been getting comments done on email as opposed to waiting for the weekly call. And so to the extent you can, if you see some glaring ones because of that really compressed time frame, please, to the extent you can, please get it on email so we can work on responses even before a call. So that's February. The comment period will be February 1st through March 25th, and then really only a short time period, you know, until April 30th to compile the comments, consider the comments, prepare the final report, and submit it to the PPSC, hopefully on or around May 1st. And then that will give the PPSC a approximately two-month period to through the Amman-Jordan meeting to consider the final report. So any questions on that time frame? I want to know if there's any disagreement now, and that's not a surprise if we raise it to the council that, you know, all of a sudden there's members of this group that kind of don't agree with at least working towards this. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note on the timeline that we've set ourselves for the completion of the draft final report, I guess that's the only part where we might have some flexibility, but, you know, a very hard cut-off date, which is the 21st of February, which is the publication deadline for the San Francisco meeting. So it means that anything we want to discuss or present in Cartagena needs to be published by that date.
Yep. Okay. Al?
Yeah, my only concern with the thing with the schedule is that when we transmit it to council, we make it clear that in our minds it is very aggressive. So I don't want to set us up for failure, but on the other hand, I don't want to set expectations that they think it's a slam dunk. You know, this is going to be difficult, and I think we need to say that.
Yes, I will say that when I communicate that to the council.
Yeah, or I mean, it could be done, in speaking when you talk about it. But I really think it needs to be driven home because there are significant people on council who believe that we really could be doing this faster. So.
Right. Okay, with that said, let's then move on to the well, let me ask James. James, is there anything as far as a leftover item from last week that you think we should cover first, or should we continue on with where we were? Anything you want to cover from last week?
There was one takeaway, which was the discussion around recommendation 45. And due to me sending some confusing requests to Marika, the language for that recommendation was just posted to the mailing list this morning just before the call, so I apologize for the delay in that. But if I can scroll down to the last one before the overarching issues. It is recommendation 45 regarding the PDP working group self-assessment. And there was quite a bit of discussion about whether that should be required, whether it should be mandatory, whether or not a template should be provided, et cetera. And what I did was I went back over the transcripts and I tried to capture all of that discussion into this revised language. And then I had committed to putting that back to the group today for, you know, their sign-off and discussion. And once we get this recommendation nailed down, then I believe we're ready to move on to the overarching issues.
Okay, and so the language that you had submitted is also on the screen now. Marika put it on as note 15. Is everyone able to see that? Okay. I don't know if everyone's on Adobe, but it basically says that the requirement for or the recommendation for a self-assessment it's recommended but should not be required deliverable of a PDP working group. and it should be coordinated by the working group chair and council liaison. Further work in this area could include development of self-assessment templates to aid in the completion of this process. Anyone have any comments on that? Seems like Alan and Paul agree to that. Okay. All right. Let's then jump into the overarching issues. And on this, I also want to draw everyone's attention to Marika had sent around an email also on Monday. And I just had it up, but now I don't. She had pointed out some of the areas that we should focus on as she was going through writing the draft report. These were some ideas and things that she had come across. And I don't know why I can't find it, but obviously for definitions, I had it, and now I don't. Ricky, do you want to just go over what your note was for definitions?
Yeah, this is Marika. The note basically just pointed out to the language that is in the document that's up on an Adobe Connect, where basically the proposal is to where appropriate, take the definitions that are included in the new Annex A or the process procedure manual that have been developed based on the working team discussion, and you know, put those together in a separate spot. So you would have definitions for concepts such as in scope, consensus policies, and policy development process. And there might be others that members of the working field might be useful to you know, group those together so that people reading either the new Annex A or the procedure manual know what the different terms mean.
Okay. Does anyone have any comments on that? I think that makes sense to approach it that way. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. For the next item is the voting threshold, and you know the comment that was that we have is that there are a number of items that have been discussed in the notes in the report, but no clear conclusion recommendation on some of the items. Marika, I want to kind of drill down on this one a little bit more. So can we, again, for hopefully the last time, go over the specific thresholds that we are recommending being added? And I don't think we recommend any Aubrey says...
That's an old comment. I just didn't get my hand up before. Just wanted to get it on the record.
Do you think that self-assessment should be listed as something that should be done? You're using the word should but not must. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay. And what was James's language? Was Rick, are you able to bring that up again easily, or is that something that's...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you going back to it now. I just didn't manage to get my hand up.
I think James' word said recommended. We could certainly see strongly recommended, which is close to a should.
Right.
I think recommended is a should already, but...
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think I don't hear any disagreement with that.
I think what we've got now is a should of a should, as opposed to it should be done. But anyway, okay.
Well, we could just shorten that. The PDP notes that this should be a deliverable of a PDP working group.
That would be great.
That reads as if we're saying it's required without quite using the word, and I'm not sure we want to say that. The tone of the last week's meeting was very much so that it's a decision the working group should take.
Well, that's what should mean. Should mean that it's a must unless you've got a really good reason not to.
Okay.
Now, maybe we have to define the word should, but that's what I thought should meant, is that unless you've got a good reason not to do something.
Okay, I can live with that.
All right. Everyone else can live with that? Good.
All right. So just to clarify, we then remove the strongly recommended but not required just change it to should be a deliverable of a PDP working group.
Right.
Do we use the term, what words do we normally use? Do we normally use must or something stronger than should in our recommendations, which are we expect to be accepted without discretion?
That is probably a good idea. Sorry, I forgot to raise my hand.
Yeah, go ahead. All
right. I can't put my hand up right now, but...
That's actually probably a good idea to make a pass through this at some point, and because one of the problems I've noticed that we have in lots of our rules is we're mushy on requirements words, and being mushy on requirements words means that you always allow the situation. So perhaps we should, somewhere, define the word should and must, and then carefully use them and make sure that we've used the appropriate one in every place.
Yeah, I think that's good. And so as everyone goes through it, if you could, if we can make this kind of a team exercise, I think that's important.
Yeah, I don't want to make a lot of work for us just to cover this one case where we do want to be a little bit more flexible. So we may want to think of it from that point of view. But let's go on.
Okay. So in the voting thresholds, let's kind of scroll through the report, Marika. Where should we start as far as the ones that we created versus the ones that already exist? I think there were only one or two that we actually added, if I'm remembering correctly.
This is Rick. I think the only one we've proposed to add is the voting threshold for the adoption of the charter.
Okay, and for that we said the voting threshold was...
the same as for the initiation of the PDP. So if it would be a PDP in scope, it would be also the same threshold for that, or if it would be considered a PDP out of scope, then the same threshold would apply to... adoption of the charter.
And did we do a threshold for canceling is probably the wrong word, but stopping a PDP? So if the council wants to end a PDP.
This is Marika. That's actually an item that is we still need to discuss, and that's a bit further down this list of issues. But as far as I recall, we didn't discuss that. I think the suggestion here is, just trying to scroll down. I'm actually not sure if there's a suggestion here what the vote should be. I think a supermajority is suggested here. So if there would be agreement, that might be another one, but we haven't really discussed that yet.
Well, let's go through that since we're going through voting thresholds. Let's kind of skip. What page of, there it is. Okay, under additional issues identified while developing the PDP procedure manual. So let's go through the termination of a PDP prior to a final report. Okay, good. Alan's back. Alan, because I just called on you and there was just deep silence for a long period of time. I'm just kidding.
I was away from my desk and trying to press mute, and I pressed off instead. Sorry.
So, okay, what we're talking about now is voting threshold still, and what we hadn't discussed, which is an additional issue, is what if we want to terminate a PDP, what if the council wants to terminate a PDP, or the community, I should say, prior to a final report, what is it going to take from the council to do that? In other words, right now it's pretty much assumed that once you start it, it either just disappears and goes away forever, which is not usually a satisfactory ending to a PDP, or there should be some mechanism to put an end to it, put it out of its misery. And so that said, what are your thoughts? We have in here a suggested approach that genus council may terminate a PDP prior to publication of a final report only for a significant cause. Of course, that's not defined, but upon a motion that passes with a supermajority in favor of... termination. And then we put some kind of reasons, you know, some just brainstorming on reasons for termination. So let me ask the first question, see if we can do this kind of in a structured approach. Do we all agree or does anyone disagree with the notion of putting in some sort of procedure to terminate the PDP? Does anyone disagree with that notion? Okay, let me add another element. Does anyone disagree with the notion that the council should be able to terminate the PDP? Okay, Aubrey?
Yeah, I believe that obviously the council as oversight has to approve any cancellation of a PDP, but I believe that canceling a PDP would have to be a request coming from the working group itself, or in the case of inaction. But I think it a bad idea to just have the council on its own able to cancel, even if it's called for a significant reason. So I think if it's there, it's the council's oversight certainly needs to endorse such a decision, but I don't believe it should be able to make a decision on its own other than some sort of major force or request of the working group. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Aubrey, and that's actually why I raised the question, because I kind of knew there may be some, you know, good discussion on that. And let me, one clarification, and then I'll go to Alex. When you say the working group should request it, do you mean the chair, the liaison, any individual from the working group, or does it have to be some working group decision somehow?
I would think it would have to be a working group decision somehow, that there would have to be consensus in the working group for closing, so that you can't have one group of people who don't like the way something is going just shut it down. That's what you want to prevent. Somebody that sort of says, oh, this is going against us when we thought it would go for us, and therefore we want to stop this.
Okay, so let me, on that, let me go to Alex, James, Alan, and then Wolf. So, Alex?
Yeah, thanks. I think I wanted to reinforce what Avery has just said, and on the belief that if the council had approved a certain, when an issues report was raised and the whole process was raised until our work group was formed, the best that the council should do is to accept the final output from that work group and the recommendation, not to stop it dead on its track, but then once the recommendations are there in the timelines that were defined, what is done with the recommendations then can be decided by the board, or, you know, but then the council should not come in the way of completion of a task that had gone through the due process of establishment. I believe that's what should be the case. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alex. And do you also agree with the notion of it should be sort of some sort of consensus of the working group that raised the request, or should it be the chair acting in the chair capacity making that request?
I think it should be the group, because then the chair only derives his authority from the entire group. So the chair cannot just use a top-down sort of, you know, command and control and say, I've stopped this group because I'm just fed up. You know, let it be the group, so that even the group can replace the chair if the chair doesn't like the work. Yeah, I believe it should be a group, a collective, and then the self-assessment of how they reached that decision based on what you had discussed earlier. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alex. And Marika, while this is going on, I think it might help to, you know, at some point, some of the reasons that were shown on this chart, you know, one of them is deadlock. And, you know, there may be reasons, too, right? We have a council liaison that's supposed to be going back to the council talking about when there's difficulty. And I just want to know how, if we can go back to a discussion maybe of the role of the, at least in the final working group guidelines report, talk about how that interacts with what the working group liaison is supposed to be doing. So let me go to James.
Hi, Jeff, James speaking. Two observations here. The first one is I don't think it serves us very well to try to anticipate why a PDP might terminate prior to the issuing of a final report. I think that there's a lot of circumstances that we probably can't foresee at this point. So maybe we could say that these were non-limiting examples of reasons why a PDP might wish to terminate before the issuance of a final report. The second thing is, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with Avery and Alex on this one. I believe if the council has the, if we have in this organization vested the council with the authority to approve a PDP, then only the council can initiate and vote to terminate the PDP. I'm concerned that if this is left to the members of the working group, that we'll have a couple of situations which might be well-intentioned but will end up frustrating the process by having one or two individuals perhaps that haven't participated in the working group or aren't familiar with the area of the subjects or topics, holding, I guess, holding the rest of the working group hostage, for lack of a better, for lack of a better term. It gives them essentially veto power over the, you know, the maybe the majority or maybe near unanimous membership of the working group that might want to terminate this for a variety of different reasons. So I think that leaving that to the working group is something that we should be very careful and think through very carefully, because you know, we have a lot of situations where we have folks who are very actively participating in working groups. We have folks who casually participate in working groups, and then we have folks who basically audit or observe working groups. And I think that we need to be wary of that if we're going to empower the working group with the ability to shut itself down. Thanks.
Okay, Alan, and then Wolf.
Yeah, a whole number of points. I wasn't concerned about the proposed wording because it still requires a supermajority of council, which means a single stakeholder group cannot shut it down unless the other three basically agree or something close to that. So I wasn't particularly worried about it. On the other side, one of the causes that was mentioned is inaction. And I would want to define that very carefully. I think inaction has to come down to not meeting for a significant amount of time and simply not making the deadlines. We often set deadlines that are very unrealistic. And again, I wouldn't want council to be able to shut down a working group that is actively trying to get somewhere. And lastly, I would worry a little bit about requiring action of the working group. One can easily imagine a working group that is so dysfunctional that you cannot come to closure on even a decision to stop working. As a manager of the process, I think council should have the ability to shut it down, but it has to be based on specific criteria. If it's not a request from the working group, it has to be something very strong, and it's a rather onerous task that the council would be taking on at that point. It's going to be awful hard to get volunteers for working groups if council acts capriciously in something like that. So I think we need to put serious words around it. But I'm not particularly worried about council doing it without the request from the working group, although clearly that's a far preferable way of doing it. Thank you.
Okay. Wolf?
Yeah, thank you. Wolf speaking. 2 points. On the one hand, I agree to in parts to that what Avi has said, was saying with regard to the, let me say, the power of the working group, let me say, which should be really shown in this process. That's one thing. On the other hand, I'm looking for the role of the council in that respect, and I don't think the council should only just nod to that what a working group is doing, saying with regards to the termination or non-termination of a PDP. We should also think about, you know, if the working group is in favor to terminate the PDP, shouldn't be the council in the position as well not to terminate it. Also, the working group is saying so because there may be some arguments from the council point of view with regards to that. So I would like to take that also into consideration. And In this regard, I also would like to join what Ellen was saying. So I think there is a strong position at the time being for the working team, and there is a high threshold with regard to that point, saying a super majority is needed, well, in order to shut down or not to shut down them. So that's what I would like to say. Thank you.
Okay. Aubrey?
Yeah, hi. I want to take into account a couple of things that are said. I think that, first of all, in terms of what just Wolf Ulrich just said, is, of course, the council, by being oversight and by needing a supermajority vote to endorse closing the working group, obviously could be saying, no, you can't close this one. So I think that concept is probably already included. In terms of what was said about a group being deadlocked and not even be able to make that, I think that makes a lot of sense. But I think that the council still needs to be acting on some kind of advice, and as opposed to just on its own deciding that. So perhaps what we need is some sort of, and also taking into account that how do we decide what inaction really is, and what were the causes for inaction. So perhaps there's two conditions under which that would enable such a super vote. One is that the working group, through the liaison or however it works, and the liaison is basically, as I understand it, a message carrier between the council, someone who's always in the council meetings and someone who allegedly is also always paying attention to the working group, and therefore they're the water carrier back and forth. So either the working group as passed by the liaison, or if the council believes that something is a real mess, then they go out for public comment to sort of say, this group is a mess. This group looks like it's deadlocked. This group looks like it's inactive. This group looks like it's full of incredible morons, and get a community comment. But the group says it can keep on going. So then get a community comment that advises the council on whether something should be changed. So it remains council oversight. The council could say, yeah, close it. No, don't close it. But that they act on some kind of advice, either the working group or, if they can't get the working group's, community comment. Thank you.
Okay, why doesn't everyone focus on that suggestion? Let's see how people feel about that. And so, Alex and Alan, do you have any comments on Aubrey's proposal of two ways, either through the liaison, which in theory should be, liaison should really only be carrying messages that the working group tasks the liaison to carry, which we may need to discuss that premise as well, or if the council believes it on its own initiative that it should go off for some sort of comment. So let me, Alex and then Alan.
Yes, I do have a comment. Yes, there are two sides of it. There could be all the dysfunctional deadlines not meeting on the group, not being in harmony, and the definitions and the what maybe that would require for that to happen. I agree that's one side of it. But let's also anticipate a situation where you could be having a fully functional work group, but then the council on its own motion decides to issue a shutdown. So that's the other opposite side of the extreme. So I believe either ways, whether it's because the group is dysfunctional or the council feels should shut down a work group, that either way the council must put up a public notice asking for the community to show cause or reason why they should not shut down a work group, and then that could be part of the public comments and could give council decision basis under which to act and guidance from the community. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alex. Alan?
Yeah, a couple of comments. I can certainly see going out for input. I wouldn't make it an ICANN public comment. I think this is something that should go to the stakeholder groups. However, my other comment was to remind us that council does have the ability of replacing the chair. The chairs are, if the process is working properly, appointed by council. And the chair could be replaced by council, I'm assuming, perhaps even without the agreement of the working group and the working group chair. I think that's within council's right. So that's a pretty powerful tool that can be used prior to shutting it down. And the last comment I have is that in our current mode of operation, the what the liaison does and where the liaison takes messages from is vague and varies heavily from liaison to liaison, working group to working group. In some cases, the liaison may be relaying a message. In other cases, the liaison is actually making judgment calls of their own. So I think we need to be careful in assuming that there is a single role for liaisons unless we have mandated that very carefully. And I'm not really familiar with what the working group's rules say a liaison should be doing, but it seems to vary in practice.
So, Alan, I just want to... You said early on in that comment that the council selects... You didn't say the council selects the chair, right?
I said the council approves the chair. I'm not really sure if there is a single way the council, that a working group gets a chair. Is the working group always select its own chair, or sometimes the council appoints the chair? I know the council is certainly supposed to ratify.
The council usually picks someone to start the group and just to get it underway. That may or may not be the same person that continues as the chair. That's usually done by the working group.
Yeah, but the practice in the past has been council does move to approve a chair or to appoint the chair, generally after that chair is selected by the working group, but I'm not sure that's mandated. I'd have to go back and look at working group rules. I'm not familiar with them in this case. But certainly in the past, council has acted to approve.
But I do think that you are correct that council does have the right to remove a chair if they desire, and maybe worth looking at the working group final report to see if there's any more guidance on that. Aubrey, you want to jump in?
Just quickly on the working group chair. The working groups would pick chairs, but yes, they're always advising their chartering organization of the choice, and the chartering organization can say, we got a problem here, folks, and can request further. And I believe that's been in the charters of most of the groups recently, and the council's basically just done a tacit approval. They've been informed and taken no action, which was a passive oversight. And I believe that's in the working group document, but I'd have to go back and confirm chapter and verse.
Okay. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to confirm that in the new or the proposed GNSO working group guidelines, it follows indeed that same practice where the working group is responsible for nominating or suggesting a chair if there's no one appointed by the chartering organization, because, you know, that might be a situation as well where the charter already defines who's going to be the chair, but in practice, in most of the time, it's a working group. And that person then would need to be confirmed by the chartering organization, in this case, of course, the GNSO. It does talk about the fact if there's objections to the selected chair, that the GNSO could then have a dialogue with the working group. It talks about need to conduct a vote to establish whether there's a majority support for the selected chair. If there's no majority support, the working group will be requested to reconsider their choice for chair and return to the chartering organization with a new proposal. But as far as I'm aware, the guidelines do not talk about removal of a chair. It does talk about several procedures that can be followed if there are issues within the working group, if there are problems with the chair or with the liaison or working group members. So there are a number of appeal procedures, but I don't recall that there's a specific one for that deals with removal of the chair in certain circumstances.
So just trying to kind of collapse all this into some principles that we can write, it sounds like we're saying that, yes, the council should have the right to terminate a PDP, and upon either the recommendation of the liaison or on its own initiative, if it goes out to the stakeholder groups and, if it first gets comment or allows a comment period, if you will, by the stakeholder groups/constituencies. And the reason I said it that way is as opposed to the entire community is that the comment raised by Alan, that it, I think it was Alan, that it's not really, it shouldn't necessarily go out to, you know, as like an ICANN public comment out to everyone. And that if it does, then the vote, the threshold for that would be a supermajority, as that term is defined in the bylaws, a supermajority of the GNSF Council. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just one note I'm wondering as well, if when you talk about on the recommendation of the liaison, if you want to add there as well, and or chair, it's just as a safeguard in certain situations we've seen as well that, you know, liaisons are missing in action or there's no good communication. I mean, that's a separate issue, of course, the working group needs to deal with, but to allow that flexibility, I'm wondering if you want to say there, chair and or liaison.
How does everyone feel about that? It seems to make sense. Alan?
Yeah, sorry, I was just trying to raise my hand. I support it.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to raise my hand.
Okay. Aubrey has a comment in the meantime. You say, why not a public comment? Everyone? Do you want to read? Do you want to go over that, Aubrey?
I have basically three comments. One, I think I was misunderstood, or maybe it moved beyond what I said. I felt that it had to come from the working group, whether it was carried by the working group chair or the liaison. So I thought the two options were the working group recommends or it's community review. And I'll get back to why I think it needs to be community and not just the stakeholders. Of course, they're part of the community. And that could be carried by the liaison. Now, the liaison could just come back to the council and say, this group is a mess. I think we should close it, in which case then, since the working group didn't say it, just the liaison said it, or just the working group said it, that would precipitate the community review. The reason I recommend a community review is once the PDP has been started and a working group has been created, it is basically open beyond just the stakeholder groups. And the trend we're taking is, while this is a funnel that, you know, has the council sitting, you know, at the top, it's got a broad base beyond the GNSO community as membership. Second, what I said in the comment basically is when there's a final report before the council votes on it, there is a community review. Now, you don't have to do what the whole community says, but you have to listen and take it into account. Likewise, if you're closing it based essentially on a null report, on the absence of being able to produce a report for whatever reason, that too, the community should be consulted. It's really no different whether it's a well-written report or it's a null report. It's still the termination of the PDP. So I'd say it has the same consideration of letting the community comment. Thanks.
So, Alan raised on the chat that he doesn't object to a formal public comment period, just didn't think it was required. And then Alex said the working group should have a chance to defend itself against whatever grounds are advanced to terminate that PDP. And I guess, Aubrey, just to kind of point out, like, maybe devil's advocate, let's say all the stakeholder groups, I guess you're right in the end, the council could always vote and to ignore what the rest of the community wants, but if the stakeholder groups don't want it, a supermajority of the stakeholder groups, then in essence it is almost irrelevant what the rest of the, quote, community wants, because this is a GNSO PDP, right? It's not the ALAC going out and making a recommendation or advice directly to the board. It's not the CCNSO. It's the GNSO. So unless you're a stakeholder or constituency of the GNSO or a PDP, it's almost irrelevant. And your answer, I guess, is that, well, the council will vote on it anyway, and the council will just ignore it.
Well,
so
can I respond?
Yes.
Well, as I said, on any final report, even though it is just the GNSO, and of course it does have to go to the board at some point, on a PDP. The community is involved. Certainly, you know, the GNSO is the GNSO Council is the one that gets to decide in the end. However, they should decide based upon full information. Now, if the GNSO wants to listen to the whole community and say, we don't care, that's fine. That is their privilege and their prerogative, but it should be obvious that they've done so. They should have a reason for doing so, and then, sure, they can go ahead and do so. But to say it's our decision and we don't need anybody else's opinion in making our decision in the new accountable ICANN really doesn't make a lot of sense. Thanks.
Okay. Alan, then Paul.
Yeah, I have one very quick yes-no answer for or question for Avery before my comment. When you're saying go out for community comment, is it in all cases or just if they recommend if there was not a recommendation from the working group?
Yeah, the way I said it, I'm sorry, I'm not good at yes-no because this is going to be a yes-no.
Well, no.
The way I said it, it looked like it should be yes. It looked like my answer had involved the yes in either case. But when I originally proposed it, I proposed it as an either-or. So at the more I talked about it, the more I got into consistency required, yes, in any case.
Okay. I guess I was going to come down in the other direction. As I listened to you more and more, it seemed a public comment was warranted if the recommendation did not come from the working group. If there is a strong recommendation from the working group that it dissolve, I'm not sure what the benefit is of council saying no, keep on working when the people, you know, that really involves completely repopulating the working group, which I guess is possible. So,
and I'll stick with my first recommendation, even though I noticed myself evolving.
Sorry, be specific.
I'll stick with the either or, even though I noticed I was evolving to in any case.
Okay. I readily support it, and I agree. In the case where a recommendation does not come from the working group, a public comment is certainly warranted. In the case when a recommendation does come from the working group, I don't think it's really necessary at all. I could live with it, as I said in my text comment, though. Thank you.
Okay, Paul.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, I'm just listening to this back and forth, and I'm just kind of wondering, folks, are we kind of arguing about, you know, a marginal case here? I mean, let's be realistic. If we have such a dysfunctional working group, why not have a public comment period? It's really not going to matter because the working group's not going to do anything if there was a public comment period underway. If it's so dysfunctional, what is 3 weeks or a month really going to matter? They're not going to meet and do anything. And in the same way, if the council has to get together and have a supermajority vote, okay, the likelihood that the first time it's up for the vote, somebody steps forward and says, I'm not ready, I'm not prepared, it gets deferred, easily 30 days are going to pass. So, I mean, I guess let's just put in public comment period, you know, in all cases that we're going to shut one down. It makes it consistent with ICANN's commitment to greater transparency. And let's just be realistic. There's no time this is ever going to happen so quickly that you know, if there were any public comments, they wouldn't have an opportunity to be received and reviewed before that supermajority vote is finally taken.
Okay, I think that makes sense. So, again, just to kind of recap, it seems like we're saying that the council, with a supermajority vote, should be able to, or shall be able to, terminate a PDP upon the recommendation of a working group or on its own initiative. It almost sounds like we're saying in either case it should go off for public comment.
Yeah, I can support that. The argument was good.
I think, you know, just while this is going on, I think, you know, James and Alex have been having an interesting discussion about, you know, what if you're shutting down a PDP because of priority, changing priorities. So that's kind of been going back and forth. Do you guys want to raise any of that on the call just to highlight it, or James?
Yeah, Jeff, just I don't think there's anything really earth-shattering here. I think we're just discussing some possible scenarios and going back to my original point that we shouldn't assume that it's being shut down because it's dysfunctional or shut down because someone doesn't like the outcome or the way it's going or something. You know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why this could be happening that we probably can't and shouldn't try to anticipate here. Thanks.
Okay. Let me go to Alex and then Marika.
Yes, the same discussion we are having, again, exploring different scenarios. We are also saying that my view is that if the council approves later PDPs that they didn't check whether maybe the other work groups that are doing the same, and then there are ones that may have met for so long and done so much work, and council decides that all those ones that are working, now that there is a new one set up, so they need to shut down the old ones so that the new one can take over, then I think it will not only discourage the community from participating in future work groups because they'll think the council can come anytime and shut it down. So I think the council should look at already existing PDPs and find out whether maybe before approving a new one, the new one will not duplicate. And if anything, maybe ask the people on those work groups that exist whether maybe they would want to be consolidated into a new one, but it should be bottom-up. You know, that's my view. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alex. And Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. In response to James' comment, what is currently in the language or the proposed language is you know, certain reasons that can be defined as significant cause. I don't think under the ones listed there, I would consider prioritization as one of those elements, unless indeed one of the other criteria might qualify. So if the working team feels that it should be broader and there should be more reasons for which a PDP might be terminated, that language might need to be adjusted. But I would express some concern there because I think you might indeed close down PDPs for not what is considered a significant cause, and then you go basically over the heads, I guess, of working groups and their views on what is necessary or not.
So let me because I think Ricky, you kind of just jumped ahead because I haven't asked that question yet. We haven't talked about whether there needs to be certain grounds or not. And I think I was kind of just trying to separate the question into several parts. So the first part is, does the council have the ability to do it? Yes. Then it's upon the recommendation, so we got the second part. Now the third part is, should we limit that to only enumerated reasons? And I think that's the topic we need to discuss. The way it's written right now is that it should be for the first part, the significant cause, and should that be our criteria? Does there need to be criteria? And then if the answer to that is yes, and only if the answer to that is yes, then we should drill down as to whether we can provide guidance as to what that means. So let me break that down and basically say, do people believe that there needs to be ground and that those grounds need to be enumerated in our report? So I have James has a comment.
Yeah, I guess you can go ahead and put me in the column that we shouldn't try to anticipate those grounds. We define them, and then we're going to find ourselves immediately limited by that through some situation that we didn't anticipate. Thanks.
Okay, so if we don't enumerate the grounds, let me ask a clarifying question. Can we enumerate some sort of standard? Like here it says, what if it just says only for significant cause, but didn't enumerate what those grounds were? Or do you think it just said they should be able to terminate it, and here's how, without saying anything?
I guess I'm in the camp of that the working groups are chartered by the council, and if the council reaches some agreement that I'm afraid that we don't want to paint an overly prescriptive picture here that paints everybody into a corner. I think that flexibility is key, and that we need to make sure that we give the chartering organization the ability to manage the policy development process. And when we start putting limitations and restrictions on that, I think that it's a sign of that we don't trust future councils or something. I'm not sure where this is going, but No, I guess put me in the column that PDP working groups, you know, kind of serve at the pleasure of their chartering organization.
Okay, Marika, and then Aubrey.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that I think that the language tries to give that flexibility, because although it does say the, you know, for significant cause, I guess that's open for the definition, and it does clearly say that, you know, the following illustrates. Maybe we should say some reasons, but I think it's given as some examples. But in the way it's written now, it's not limiting. So I guess there need the group we need to decide whether it needs to be more limiting, less limiting, you know, no examples at all, some ideas, so that it's clear what the expectation is.
Okay, so Ricky, you're saying you would just, so right now it says the following illustrates proper reasons. You would just say the following are illustrative examples of reasons terminate a PDP.
Right, if the work team agrees that it should be more flexible and not restricted to these, you know, three different reasons.
Okay, let me go to Aubrey and then Alex.
Yeah, I tend to agree with James that it shouldn't be limited. I'm normally leery of examples because people take examples to often be the only examples, but I believe if we use the, you know, well, we can't say inter alia, but, you know, including but not limited to type of phraseology, for example, so that it's open. But I believe that the ultimate decision of what is significant is the working group, the community, and ultimately supermajority vote by, you know, they determine that they have a significant reason. And so I agree with James that it should be kept open. I don't mind examples as long as it's very clear that that is not a limitation but just an example. Thanks.
Okay. Alex?
Yes, I do not in any way have mistrust in future councils, current or whichever one will be, but I believe that or I'm motivated by the need to have us recommend some sort of guidance onto some of these pretty wide and open statements. And in this case, let's imagine like a new member, maybe 6 years, joining and reading these documents and trying to make heads or tails what we meant by it. So in essence, I'm saying maybe we could probably offer some clarity in the council's management in regard to that significant cost, because then significant cost is open to anybody's interpretation. So there might there's need to avoid vague grounds, and who will define them? Who will define them later? No, or define it what a significant cost later on. In itself, it could be an issue of discussion for so long, and people may not reach a consensus on the significant ground. So it's, however it's phrased, without limiting or without mistrusting, let's also try to offer some or recommend some guidance on what those significant costs or what significant costs indicative and not, but not limiting. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like we're kind of all in agreement, although people have phrased it kind of differently, but it sounds like we should say that the language should be as it is here as far as for significant cause. And then instead of the next language being, you know, really kind of as narrow as it is now, to just basically say the following are examples of reasons to, you know, examples, but you know, including but not limited, whatever language is best. I'll leave that to Marika to do a first draft of. But it sounds like we're doing these examples as illustrative only and that it's not limiting, but making the point that there really should be some sort of good reason to do this. I think that makes sense. And in the draft, so it's got three reasons here, right? It's got deadlock, changing circumstances, and lack of volunteers. If anyone's got any other examples from past PDPs, yeah, please raise them in your comments. We'll kind of take that one offline on email. All right, so Marika, that is a second. We got into talking about this through the threshold, so I guess that's our second new threshold. The first one is voting on a charter. The second one is voting to terminate the PDP. But going back, we have not made any recommendations to change any of the ones that were put in place when we approved, we being the ICANN community, approved the change to the bylaws and the whole bicameral structure. Marika, you have a comment?
Yeah, this is Marika, because basically what we're looking at now, these different items are covered in the chapter that addresses the overarching issues. And what I've tried to do for several of those is write a kind of like conclusion on our discussions. Some of those are translated as well in some of the recommendations, but some of them is more recapping our discussion on those. So the question would be here if the conclusion for this item would be indeed to know that we've addressed those two different voting thresholds, but maybe I'm referring back to the discussion we had on one of the other items, I think decision of the council, if I'm not mistaken, or agreement of the council, where basically I think the work team said, well, this new structure is so new that, it's too early for us now to make a recommendation on whether the existing voting thresholds work or don't work or should be reviewed, but maybe that's something for a later stage to see. So I don't know if a similar conclusion would be appropriate in that part of the report.
Well, instead of saying it's too new, is there and I can't remember when this whole bicameral structure was set up, did someone say there should be a built-in review period to review this new structure? Is that one of the recommendations? Because if it was, you could just say, we'll push that out since there's a review done anyway. I can't remember if there is or isn't. I'm mixing up.
It doesn't work. I actually don't know either after the adoption of the new structure where anything was built in on reviewing that. I see Ava raising her hand, so she might remember.
I'm pretty sure there wasn't.
What's built in is the, in fact, it was discussed at the time, was the fact that the GNSO will come under review again. Board review, which had been 3 years, but now is 5 years. So at that point, that structure will be renewed, and that was the assumption, but certainly not before then.
So latching on to that, if we could find some language that states what Avery just did about, when the GNSO reviews are, if we could find that language, instead of saying it's too new, we could just say the working group decided that the existing threshold should, a review of those existing thresholds should wait until the next cycle of GNSO review. I mean, you're sort of saying the same thing, but you're actually providing definitive guidance that this should be reviewed when the GNSO comes up. We'll, if you could help look for that.
Okay.
Any other comments on thresholds? Okay, now the next issue is on decisions that are made by the working group, a PDP working group. This one could be fairly easy or more complicated, but the easy approach would be, look, the working group work team spent a bunch of time on working group guidelines on how they're going to make decisions, and, looking at things like what defines consensus or full consensus, strong support, all those terms, it went through and defined it. The easy approach that we could take here is to say, well, yeah, we think those should apply to PDP working groups as well. Or we could take a look at that and say, no, we got to make some changes. So I guess I'll give a homework assignment, unless people are ready to discuss that on this call. Maybe what we'll do is we'll post those couple of pages of material in email. Alan, you have a comment?
Yeah, a question. Your recent comment triggered something which I think applies in this case. Are we making a recommendation implicit in our overall recommendations that this be reviewed at some point?
You mean this, our...
The new PDP structure.
We actually do make that recommendation, right? Remember, if you think back to the five categories...
Mm-hmm.
However we define stages. One of the stages we recommend, and Marika can jump in, but we do recommend both the review of an individual PDP and a review of the overall process. So we are making those recommendations.
Okay, then this one probably fits under that review. That is, we haven't used these new criteria and consensus rules enough to really say they're not going to work for Peter. But I think it's a reasonable thing to put in some periodic review.
So your statement would start out saying that, yes, we should use the working group, work team guidelines, and then, you know, review whether that's appropriate upon, you know, the review of the PDP process at whatever intervals they're done.
Yes, I think that would be reasonable, given that we have so little experience with them to date. They may be marvelous, they may not work in practice, but I don't think we have them. This group doesn't have the ability to make that judgment call, I don't think.
Okay, and just to like add in a little bit of color to that, I believe that when the PPSC was discussing this, and Avery, maybe you probably recall this similarly, I believe that everyone in the PPSC, when they were going through the working group work team report, assumed that when we were reviewing those standards, that would apply to PDP work teams as well as just PDP working groups as well as other working groups. I think that was probably everyone was thinking about that. So I think that works, but I just want to verify with everyone that does. So we'll still send it out on email. Make sure, you know, because there's a bunch of people in this group that either are not members of the PPSC or are not members of the PPSC. So, wait, did I just say the same thing? They're not members of the working group, work team, or members of the PPSC. So they should probably consider that and think about it as well. And Avery just lost her phone connection.
I got back in. I can say what I was going to say. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Avery, yes.
Yeah, what I was going to say is I believe that during the work team, the working group work team process, we did consider it. And one of the concerns we had was that we try as much as possible to come up with a common understanding and a common language that wouldn't necessarily change across every working group so that people wouldn't say, oh, it's this kind of working group, therefore consensus means X, whereas we're in that kind and therefore it means Y. And there was a lot of discussion on it, and there was a lot of discussion that had to do with their use in a PDP. So I personally am strongly in favor of sticking with those, and if we don't like those, changing them there, but not changing them specifically for a PDP if we can avoid it. Thanks.
Yeah, so I think, Avery, when you dropped it, I think that's kind of a similar conclusion that we were basically saying that, you know, when the PPSC was considering it as well, I believe that the PPSC members were thinking in terms of PDPs as well as just regular working groups, and that since we haven't really worked with these standards very long, that it would seem like this would be something that may come up again, if at all, when you review the overall PDP process. So I think ultimately the recommendation is let's follow the working group work team guidelines and review them when PDPs are reviewed. Or the PDP process is reviewed. Okay. The last issue we have to discuss, which is maybe easy, maybe difficult, I don't know, but we've kind of avoided, is, okay, the transition. How does the transition work? There are existing PDPs going on. Do we just set the rule saying this new PDP process applies to all future PDPs, or this is we're going to somehow work it into existing PDPs? That's the overall question, and then depending on how we come out with that, there's lots of little subtleties. So let's start with that. James, you have a comment?
Yeah, Jeff, just typical operations management would say you pick a date and then you cut in the new process for all PDPs chartered after that date, and if there are PDPs that are still in operation that were chartered prior that are still operating past that date, you grandfather them in, and you have to kind of, you know, prepare for a little bit of a period of overlap of two separate operating guidelines. But I really don't see how you could go the other direction cleanly and transition existing PDPs, which may be close to the end or or whatever, and you know, try and get those folks converted over to new rules.
So
I think the simplest approach is the one I think that is the best.
Okay, so let me, and it seems like most people agree. Let me just get some clarification on when you say a working group is chartered, or PDP is. You use the word chartered, and I want to drill down as to what that means. Does that mean for which an issues report has not come out? Does that mean for which an issues report may have come out, but you haven't yet chartered the working group or initiated the PDP? Or does that mean for all situations where you may have initiated the PDP but haven't chartered the working group? Where is that line in your mind?
You know, if I could respond and just put a line out there, I haven't thought through all the consequences, but we start our discussion and rule setting around the issues report. So I think it's issues reports that are requested after date X, start them as cleanly and as early in the process as possible.
Okay, so anything that already has an issues report and anything that's, you know, any further than that through the process would be grandfathered to the old process, and any of the new requests for an issues report would be under the new process. I will state that really the council at any time or working groups at any time can adopt any of these things on their own. There's not really too much that are mandatory requirements. There's only two voting thresholds that we have now recommended. So, you know, when you do drill down into it, some of these are common sense. Some of these working groups and the council could initiate on its own. So that may work easily. Let me go to Alan.
Yeah, I guess I don't quite support what James was saying, but I think what you just said may cover it. In terms of a hard and fast rule, I think we have to go back to the prior to the issues report, because we're dictating the whole process. On the other hand, there may be, and I think there are, very significant parts of our process that could be adopted halfway through, because, you know, until you come to a certain stage, it may be completely irrelevant which set of rules you're working on. I don't quite know how you make that decision or who makes the decision as to which parts can apply and which parts can't. But my inclination is to say, if we say this will not be addressed, this will not be adopted till at the earliest the Amman meeting, we're saying any PDP that has gotten slightly into its process is going to be forced to use the old rules for its entirety. Says we'll be working on the old rules for another 3 years at this point, at least.
Yeah, so
and I'm not sure it's necessary to do that, but I think we're going to need some discretion and flexibility in the wording of it.
Well, I think what you can say is, you know, all new issues reports or requests for issues reports, however we define that, after that certain date, must follow the new process.
Oh, sure.
And then you could say, and the council and working groups are strongly encouraged to use the new process for existing PDPs to the extent feasible and practical.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, to a large extent, we are adding rigor and process to this. We're not simplifying things.
Right, and we're not really...
For good or bad. So I don't think it's onerous to adopt some of our rules partway through.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think it's not like we're changing existing voting thresholds, which would make things really complicated. We're adding two new ones, which the council can decide, you know, that's a good practice anyway, even though it's an existing one. We want to terminate this PDP, for example. You know, the PDP work team or PPSC made these recommendations. We adopted them. Let's voluntarily, you know, the chair, the council could say, let's follow that process. So I don't think there's anything here that's going to dramatically change an existing PDP to the point where you can't just start implementing new things right away as kind of a best practice. Paul?
Thanks, Jeff. I agree with everything you and Alan just said. In fact, would change my original support. You know, when I just said a simple cut-in date, which new rules apply. I think especially as you see in the chat, as Marika's noted, there's a, for council's meeting today, an issue report request for UDRP, and yeah, that's obviously going to be a very hot issue. Certainly a lot of people have very, very strong interest and opinions about it and whatnot, and I think it's very important that we, just the nature of that issue, it's going to take a while to get through. It'll be very important to try and get these new rules addressed, and ideally part of that process is as soon as possible. How exactly you pick the cut-in date, I'm not sure, but as you've just said, I think it may not be an issue. But also in the chat, Alex just had what was going to be my original question, and so you know, I'll just repeat Alex's question, which is, can we allow an existing PDP to request that the new rules apply to their group? And if that was my question, I don't really have an opinion. I'm just curious what the rest think.
Well, again, I mean, it's a lot of our rules. Again, it's not like we're changing. It's not like we're saying at one point the threshold was a supermajority and we're changing it to a majority now, right? Most of the things that we're requesting, as I think Alan was saying, it's more rigor. An existing working group can always say, you know what, let's do all of this. Let's and the council, when they're voting to amend the charter or do whatever, they could always say, yes, let's follow what the PDP group has recommended. It doesn't seem to me very difficult to start bringing in some of those practices into new working groups. But let me Aubrey, James, and then Alan.
Okay, thanks. My original inclination was to support the original, which is, you know, cutoff date, anything after that, though I probably was going to recommend initiation of PDP and not request for a report. But two things occur to me. One, I think that any PDP that is currently underway should continue under the old, though almost in the model of a student in a university, you know, you get to graduate under either the conditions that were set when you started or those that are set when you're finishing. So requesting the change is certainly something that's reasonable to consider. I think on any new, like the UDRP, should that become a PDP, I think that the council can, at the time of whatever we end up recommending here, can at the time of approving the PDP say in its motion that, you know, while it's, you know, that we request that it start under the draft rules as will be amended by the, you know, we did that a lot with the working group guidelines, where for the last year of using the working group guidelines, we would define there is a draft of the guidelines at the moment, you know, you'd operate under those and so on. So the council has, in defining the PDP, I just think that there's a problem with having a PDP that is ongoing, having the footing change under it, having more rigor added. Some of the stuff is indeed different. And so I'd be leery about anything that is going, and who knows how long it'll take for this all to get accepted. So I'd be careful about it, is I guess what I'm
okay, let me go to James, Alan, and then Marika, and then I'll cut it off, and then we got to spend 2 minutes talking about whether to have a call on Monday. So let me go to James, and then Alan, and then Marika.
Just real quickly, Jeff, you know, when I made my original proposal, I think I qualified it by saying I hadn't thought all the repercussions all the way through. And Alan raised some very excellent examples, so I'm going to go ahead and switch my position to what he's proposed. Thanks.
So, okay, Alan.
Yeah, I'll be quick. I was just trying to think through as people were talking. What are the things that that a working group could not adopt at their pure discretion, because much of what we're talking about, once the PDP has actually started, there's not that much that has changed. One of the few things that has changed, for instance, is the comment period, where the current one says 20 days, And we have interpreted that recently to say we must set it out for 20 days, although we know partway through the process we're going to extend it. But on paper, we'll do it for 20 days because that's what the PDP rule says. A little bit of flexibility, which you've used in many other parts of the PDP process, says we could set it out for 45 days or whatever the new standard is. There's not many other things, once the PDP actually is in process, where our rules are all that different. So I don't think it's onerous. I think we need to read it over carefully, but I don't think it's all that onerous, and I think we can come up with some good rules that maybe requires requesting or something, but I don't think it's a particularly onerous issue, and we need to read it carefully as we're reviewing the report, but I don't think it's going to be difficult to address.
Yeah, I think you've kind of hit on the big issue that maybe we'll go through for the next call is the timelines that are in there is really the only things that are of huge significance that a working group on its own could not really change. There's existing timelines in the existing PDP of when things have to be done. Now, granted, the councils usually waive those, we wouldn't want the working group on its own initiative to just say, no, we're going to ignore that and go.
No, but the 20-day one is the only one I can remember the council has typically not been flexible on, or at least interpretation has not been flexible on. All the other timelines have gone out the window. So I don't think I should worry about that all that much.
Right. So we'll put that on as, like, the first item to discuss in the next call, which, Marika, do you have an additional comment?
Yeah, this is Marika. I just want to caution a bit or maybe check a little bit more internally on this, maybe transitioning or, working groups can switch, because I do have a concern that, especially if working groups are tasked to develop consensus policies, if you change the process or add elements or require elements that weren't there when you started the process, if that might have any legal implications or whether someone could challenge then at the end of the day the outcome and saying, oh, well, but you didn't follow the process that was set out initially. You ignored that public comment period or you didn't respect the timeline, because although we have been flexible with certain elements, in certain respects, we've been trying to respect some of those as well. For example, acting on PDPs, at least acknowledging them in council meetings, maybe not having a vote yet, but at least trying to do that in a certain way. So, I can check from my side internally to see what advice maybe the General Counsel Office has in that relationship, but just wanted to know that as well.
Good point.
Okay, so on that note, I think we made some pretty good progress. I think we might be okay to just meet next Thursday as opposed to having the Monday meeting, but I want to hear from everybody. I mean, I would like people, though, to take that time to work on their comments to the draft final report, so that they could submit it by Friday. So does anyone disagree with that? Does anyone think we must meet on Monday, keeping in mind that several people can't make it?
I think you need to extract a promise from all of us to do our homework, but other than that, you're right.
I'm taking everyone on their implicit agreement that they're going to make my comments. Anyone disagree with that? Okay, so no call on this Monday, but yes, a call a week from today, same time, same place, with a new Adobe Connect. So everyone good with that?
Yep.
Yeah, sounds great.
Right. Yep. Okay, thank you, everyone, and I will talk to you all on a week from today.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye.